What a great way to start off a sermon. As we read those lists, read the list of all the fleshly things that we get caught up in. So I just want you to know that GA was a special blessing. You need to know that God has given us an amazing denomination. And I am excited about all the many ways that we're planting churches. We're providing so many opportunities to bring God's word into the world. New missionaries were commissioned. It was just, and also chaplains. Chaplains in the armed forces were also there being commissioned and being thanked for their service. So God is wonderfully doing wonderful things there. And you know what? I just realized, there it is. So you're going to be seeing a picture here. Go ahead. Put that picture up, if you don't mind. You got it? I want you to know that was me 20 years ago. I shrunk a little bit, and I lost a lot of weight, but isn't that amazing? Well, that is the strongest man in the world. Historians and people that are experts believe that there's no man that was stronger than this man right here in his prime. They've looked back at history, all the records that have been made together, and his name is Zudranas Savakas. He's from Lithuania. He has a squat record of 900 pounds, bench press 550 pounds, deadlift 790 pounds. The guy is amazing when it comes to strength in this world, but I want you to know that he doesn't hold light to the flesh. Our flesh is stronger than what this guy is. We struggle with our flesh because it compels us to do things that we don't want to do. It compels us to do things that are evil and sinful. Our flesh is very, very strong. You go ahead and take that off now. And it's stronger than this guy right here. And we struggle with our flesh every day. And God truly wants us to understand the gift he has given us through the Holy Spirit, how we can fight the flesh and respond to the fruit that comes from a transformed heart that the Holy Spirit did in our lives. So let's get back to the letter itself. As you know, God has sent this letter to a church in Galatia. Remember, Paul wrote the letter, okay, but it's God who is speaking through Paul, so he is representing God. And God was very, very ticked off, and I could see why, especially in that first chapter where it was very clear that basically God says, if there's another gospel preach, I don't care if it's an angel or anybody, there's another gospel preach, that person is accursed. God does not like when his beautiful gift of salvation, the gift of salvation that gives us a hope for the future, but also a right relationship with our Father in heaven, now has a price tag on it. Now there's a condition on it, and God was very, very angry about it. And I can see why. So we continue. This letter starts with that. And what we learned was there was a representative from the church in Jerusalem. And they decided to go ahead and send some type of messenger, some type of person who has authority to the church and basically telling this church, you're doing it wrong. But they were doing it right. As we know the story, we have Gentiles and Jewish people coming together from two different worlds, extreme worlds, coming together, and they're having a community, a family, and they were doing everything right. They were sharing the communion, the Lord's table. They were worshiping God, and great things were coming out of that church. And now this person comes in and says, well, guess what? You're doing it wrong. That what you forgot to do, there's a condition that you need to take these Gentiles here and you need to put them through a process of circumcision. That is how they should be a part of the family. And God was upset with that, because what happens is that you put a condition on his grace. Grace is free. Grace is a gift. God gives us faith to receive that grace, the gift of salvation, and to put us into a right relationship. And that's what God always intended us to have, is this intimate, right relationship with him. And that is the reason why Christ came into the world. Now, suddenly you got someone coming and saying, well, you can't come to God. You can't have this relationship unless you do this and this. And God says, no. You're bringing the law back into it. You're bringing a condition, and that's a slippery slope. Because when you start letting one thing come in and having one condition wrapped up to my grace, then suddenly you're going to add all these other laws because you're fighting against the flesh. And the flesh does all kinds of terrible things, and it likes somehow to adhere to the law, which we cannot ever accomplish. So we have this. And we found out last week, or a couple weeks ago, there is a war between the Spirit of God inside of us, I think all of us can know that, and with our flesh. And God wants us to win. There is a war we struggle with every day. We want to do what God wants us to do, but many times we find ourselves saying or doing something that we know is not the right thing to do it. I mean, maybe it happens to you guys maybe once a month, but it happens to me a couple times a week. I'm struggling with the flesh to do what is right. So God says, I want you to win. I want you to know that there is a war, but the war is won by me through the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand a little bit about the flesh and soul and things like that. So that's sort of a situation that is spoken through the Old Testament and New Testament. Even in the world of philosophy and academics, they're trying to figure out, okay, we have this flesh, this body, okay? But also there is this capability to think. There's also this capability to feel, and there's a capability to respond to things. So they're trying to figure it all out, but God made it very clear through the Old Testament and New Testament, and basically God said is this, that what I did is I took dirt, okay, in Genesis, I formed it into a body, and I breathed in my spirit, the soul. Now, if you look at your fingerprints and you look at your eye prints, you know that they're different. I mean, they're uniquely different. There's no other person in this world that has the exact eye print to you. That's why you have all of these spy movies, you know, they go up to it and they get your eye print. You know, that's kind of neat. Well, that just basically says that there's no other person that can do it. What I want you to know right now, that your soul is uniquely tied to you. This is you. God made you. There's no other soul out there that is, there's a replicate. There's no other soul. There might be something close to a twin, but it's your own soul. That's very important, especially young people, because what happens is we forget the sight of how the soul is really me, and it's not my outside. But we have the world that says, no, I'm going to shape you on your side, and I'm going to go ahead and totally disregard your soul. But you are learning, and we are learning, that the soul is very important, and God is affirming our soul, okay, by providing us with Scripture, especially with the Holy Spirit, to remind us of the goodness that God has put in ourselves. So that soul is very important. That's very unique. It's put into the body. And then, great thing, in the garden, we didn't have any problems with the flesh. We didn't have any problems with the sin. We had natural desires that were given to us by God. Natural, good desires. Good desires to eat. Good desires for marriage. Good desires for drink. I mean, natural, good desires. There was nothing there that says that I'm being tempted outside of this because our heart was good. It was innately good. And so we were able to live a life in our emotions and our desires, all shaped up by God's goodness in our relation with God, and we were doing good things, so we never had this war with the flesh because we were doing things naturally that was part of our creation to live in the garden. Well, what happened, as you know, that we decided to live life on our own terms, and our sin now is sinful. It's like a cancer. It just gets in there, and it starts spreading. And so now our sin, our heart is sinful, and what that heart, that sin, that heart does, it influences our flesh. It influences our desires. It influences how we respond to things because our heart is sinful. And we see this. This is God's gift to us, is that he says that he comes in a world and he says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to help transform your heart. I'm going to renew you. I'm going to provide you with the Holy Spirit that's going to continually to transform your heart so that you can respond by the fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit provides for us as a part of his blessing to us. So it's important to understand that. So as a Christian, we live in the flesh. We have those sinful desires. Some of them have been shaped by so many different ways. God says, I've given you the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to grow to now express or shine the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. So we have this great story, and I would like to ask for us now to go to the story itself, the passage. And God says this to us, now the works of the flesh are evident. In fact, that's not really a good word from the Greek. I just want you to know that. I'll share you what the word really means. Then he talks about all the stuff that there, and we're going to be looking at this stuff. We're going to be looking at it and say, okay, how is this real in my life? What does it mean, and how can I live by God's Spirit to avoid my flesh trying to get in these situations? So that is a whole different process. But at the end, in verse 21, I warn you, he says. God says this. I warn you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I perk up on that a little bit because I struggle with my flesh. I'm still worn with it. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit that is transforming me to now reveal the fruit of the Spirit. But also, I have this little thing here that God says that if I continue to be ruled by my flesh and allow for these works to happen and those evidences of those things coming, then I may not inherit the kingdom of God. And you're begging. The question is, what does that mean to a Christian? What? I thought we already inherited the kingdom of God. I thought we had already been part and in the kingdom of God. So we're going to address that in a minute. But first of all, this word right here, inherit, from the English Standard Version, really means shine. It's shiny. That is very obvious, very shiny. So let me give you a little story. A couple days ago, I was golfing, and I was golfing with this one person, and we're walking down the course, and you know, and the course is green. It's pretty obvious green, but there was something right in the middle of the course that looked like a golf ball. It was very evident. It was very shiny. And so my friend and I, we thought, well, hey, we love finding new golf balls. But that's part of the golfing. It's not just golf, but you get to find golf balls like Easter eggs. So we thought, wait, we got a golf ball. So we start walking up to the golf ball, then we realize it wasn't a golf ball. But instead, it was a leaf that was hitting the sun just perfectly, and it was shining. It was a crazy phenomenon. Because from the distance, it looked like a golf ball, but it got closer, it was a leaf. And of all the things that were on that golf course, it was shining the brightest. So this is a picture that God is trying to give us, that our flesh, when we respond to our flesh, it's going to shine. It's going to be evident. It's going to be obvious. It's not going to be something that's hidden, but people are able to see it very, very clearly. Not only yourself, but also others. So what about this? It not inherit the kingdom of God. You're probably asking, okay, Pastor Peter, where are you taking us with that? Okay, so for a non-believer, we know this is true because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Their lives have not been transformed. They're not birthed into the kingdom. So naturally what happens is that a person who is not following Christ is not a part of the kingdom of God, so there's no way he's going to inherit the kingdom of God. So we understand that part, okay? But now he is sending a message to us as Christians because he understands as Christians we are fighting against our flesh as well as we are trying to allow for the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. So what is God saying to us? So let me kind of give you Pastor Peter's and some other theologians believe that what this means is that God truly wants us to be beneficiaries of what the kingdom brings to us. When you're living in the kingdom of God and you're following the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, that there are phenomenal blessings that comes from that. Blessings that comes about of a kingdom, just like the USA, as we live and partake in this kingdom, that there are certain things that happen to us in a great, great way. But if we do things badly, badly things happen. So God is saying that there are blessings. When you follow me, when you obey me, there are wonderful blessings that come in our life. Now, you remember when we sin, when we do something that's sinful, no matter how much we try to justify it, no matter how much we try to make excuses for it, whatever it is, guess what? There's always a consequence that comes with a sin. Always. And it's not fun. I mean, when you take a 20-pound foot and thinking that you can drop it on your foot, and you're thinking, I'm not going to have any consequences. No, there's going to be consequences. Every time we sin, there is a consequence. And within that consequences, obviously, it's robbing us of something in our lives. So God says that when you are following the Holy Spirit, when you're allowing for the fruit of the Spirit to shine in your life, what you're doing is you're reaping all the beautiful things that God wants us to receive as a Christian. It almost smacks of prosperity gospel, but it's different. This says that when you obey God and you obey His Word, good things do happen. God wants us to experience good things. God wants us to bless it. And when we follow our flesh, bad things happen. So from my understanding, and I'd love to have anybody talk to me about it, is that what we lose is that there are certain things that come with living in the kingdom of God, beautiful blessings, beautiful types of privileges, but we lose it when we find ourselves responding to our flesh, but when we're led by the Spirit, we receive those blessings, but we don't receive it, those things that are part of the kingdom, if we follow our sinful flesh. So I pray that it helps y'all to understand this. So here's the application for this morning. The application is this. You will either shine with your flesh or you will shine with the fruit of the Spirit. You'll be shining, we'll be shining with something. Something is going to be evident. Something is going to be obvious in our life. Something is going to shine in our lives as either we respond to the flesh. So you will either shine with your flesh. Has anybody ever seen the movie Cars? Okay, oh, come, just one? Oh, two, three, four. Okay, so you have Lightning McQueen. You know, remember Lightning McQueen? Lightning McQueen is a car. Now, if you're a grandparent or you're a parent, kids love this. And he's a racer, and he's a car. And Lightning McQueen, who is Owen Wilson, likes to shine. Remember? And the way he shines, I know, he goes, ka-chow! He throws out the little, you know, lightning bolt there. Yeah? Ka-chow! So my point is that when we are following our flesh, when we give to our flesh, we are ka-chowing to the world. They will see that. It'll be obvious. So it's going to happen. If we continue to follow with our flesh, which God doesn't want us to follow, because not only do we ka-chow to the world, but also we reap the consequences of following with our flesh. And God, as a loving Father, does not want us to live with consequences because they're terrible. But instead, God wants us to shine with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to shine. Now, just need you to know that these flesh things in Galatians and the fruit of the Spirit are just, they're not exhaustive. So there's other things out there, but we're going to be able to take a look at them. But God truly wants us to shine because God always intended for us to shine. Always intended us to shine for Him. I think some of you know that we are led by the Westminster Confession. It is a way to understand our understanding of Scriptures. And one of the first questions that is asked is what is the chief end of man or humanity? What is it? Because that's normally the first question that many people ask. You know, when it comes to philosophy, when it comes to academics. I mean, why are we here? What is our purpose in this world? Enjoy Him forever. You got it. But not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that. No, not anybody really knows what does it mean to glorify God? Do I mean I have to stand there and say, I praise you, God, I praise you, God, I praise you, God? Well, praise God is really important. You do praise God, and we do worship. But how do we glorify God every day? See, the word glorify means, another word, reflection or shine. So in our life, when we give credit to God, when we point to God with everything we do, what we're doing, we're shining to God. So instead of I'm going, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing, look at my great degrees, look at what all the things I can do, all my gifts and all that, you know, give a little glory to myself. And a lot of people like to do that. They love to have that. God says, yeah, don't do that. Let everybody know that I gave you those gifts. I gave you that education. I gave you those finances. I've given you that job. I've given you that body, whatever it is. God says, I want you to shine me into other people's lives. And when you do that, you are glorifying me and that you have great purpose in this earth. That's awesome. If you want the question for purpose in this world, when we shine God to other peoples, we have a great sense of purpose. So that shining doesn't have to take place on a football field or getting an A or getting a brand new car or having a brand new baby. All those things are great, but shining means that every day I walk in this life and I allow for the Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me, and I'm shining God into people's lives. I'm shining God to the person that works at Chick-fil-A or Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm shining myself to God to the waitress. I'm shining God to my spouse, to my children, how I treat them, how I love them, how I care for them. I'm shining God to my brothers and sisters in Christ. But we know that what happens is we get caught up in the flesh sometimes. Instead of shining God, we shine the flesh. So what we're going to learn is, it's, you know, if shining the flesh is evident, then let's learn about it. Because I don't want to shine the flesh. I don't want a person who sows discord. I don't want a person who's known to compromise my integrity. I don't want to be a person who is known to gossip. I don't want a person who knows that, you know, all the things that are in here, that I find myself being very envious of others. I don't want that. I don't want my flesh to shine that. That's not giving any glory to God. We want to glorify God. We want to shine God. So, I hope you're hearing God this morning. He loves us dearly. He's given us His Holy Spirit so that we can go ahead and do what? Is live a life that glorifies our Father in heaven. That's where purpose comes from. What great purpose to know what I do in this world, wherever I am, that I can shine God to others around us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much for, again, your word. It's your word. It's your lesson. You just helped me to preach it. We heard you. You desire for us to shine you. Your desire for us is not to be shining our flesh. We thank you so much, God, because we know that we're not any strong person. We don't have the strength to not shine our flesh, but you have given us your Holy Spirit, the strongest of all, so that we can respond to your Holy Spirit and shine you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about this for next week, the next couple of weeks. That responses from the flesh are emotional. We're trained, we're shaped. But responses from the Holy Spirit, shining, revealing the fruit of the Spirit, is not emotional. It's a choice. It's a choice in the midst of all those angry, confused emotions. God's not going to give you a feeling of patience. No, God is going to help you to be patient in a situation where you need patience. So remember, the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is choices. The flesh is those desires and emotions that have been built up by a sinful heart. So consider that as we continue with the sermon series. Well, let's prepare our hearts for communion. Did you want to do the song first, or do you want to do it? Okay, sure. What a gift. This table is a reminder of God's goodness, of His work in our lives. We hang on to so many symbols. We have symbols that we wear. We have symbols we embrace that tells us who we are, and we identify to the world things we like and don't like. The symbol, the beautiful symbol, the Lord's table, is telling the world and my brothers and sisters that this is real. This is real in my life. This represents what God has done for me. That Jesus Christ died. He took our sins to the grave. He rose again so that we can have not only new life, eternal life, but a right relationship with our Father in heaven. This is so real. And God promises us in Scripture that this is another means of His grace, another way for us to receive His living presence. This is real. So let's prepare our hearts. And I just want you to know that if there's anything that you feel that's keeping you from taking this wonderful table, something, whatever it is, God is so good. Just say, God, I'm struggling with this in my life. Please, please help me. I want to be in the process of You changing me, turning me around. And God, allow me to receive this table, as a gift from You. Let's prepare our hearts by praying. We thank You so much, God, for this beautiful table, this reminder of Your goodness, of Your unfailing love in our lives, the reminder of what Your Son, Jesus Christ, done for us, changed our lives, transformed our hearts. Provide us with Your Holy Spirit and also Your mercy that allows us to constantly go back to You when we are struggling with whatever sin is in our life. So we thank You for this gift. We just receive it with a heart of gratefulness. And we pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. So on that night, Jesus Christ took the bread and said, "This bread is the body of my Christ." And He breaks it, a beautiful reminder of what His body went through to be put on that cross. It said, He broke it and said, "Take this bread, eat this in remembrance of me." And likewise, He took the cup of redemption. And He said, "This cup represents my blood to be is poured out for you to have a new relationship with your Father in heaven. Take this and drink this in remembrance of me." Amen. So, just, are we doing intinction or are we going to spread it out this morning? I can't. Do we know what it was? Thank you. You're going to come forward. So, I'm going to have a couple people come up and help me with that. Thank you.